hi to someone, welcome them to church today on this sunny April 19th. It's good to see you. Thank you, worship team. If you are new here today, my name is Andy, and we take sermon notes on Sundays, so it's an opportunity not just to listen to God's word today, but to apply it to our life. And so as you have come in, someone that really friendly would have given you a hard copy sermon note. If you don't have one, you could go on our website and or our app, and all the details are there. And we want you to apply today's message to your week. We are in a new sermon series called Raised to Life. And why we are get stuck sometimes in life is what we're going to talk about. So I used to play Little League when I was a kid. I used to play a league called Babe Ruth Little League, and I was 14 years of age and basically the same size, okay? So I'm like 5'5", playing baseball, and there was a little trick that you have to play when you play sports. You learn as you practice, but have you ever played or tried baseball and there's a pop fly and the sun is in there and the ball hits the sun and you lose the ball? Have you ever heard of that before? You lose a ball in the sun. So as a baseball player, you're taught two different things. You're taught to put your glove up to the sun so that you can see the ball, or you use your other hand to try to block out the sun to see the ball, and usually the ball looks like a black blob. But you see it coming at you from the sun. Maybe you've watched sports highlights and you see professional players making millions of dollars and they're trying to find the ball and it lands right beside them. Well, it's because they lost it in the sun. You see this also in hockey if you're watching the playoffs. When someone is shooting a puck down the ice and is going around the boards, you see another player knowing where the puck will be going. It's called hockey sense. It's not worth chasing the puck. You go where the puck is going. It's the same way of how you and I got here today. You maybe drove here or someone drove you here. There is shoulder checks that you have to check so that you don't get in an accident or you're safe. And so there's blind spots. We have to realize that sometimes when we are stuck in our own ways and our own selfishness, it's because of our own blind spots. And if you're not aware of your blind spots, then they blindside you. And it usually shows up in our relationships. Our relationships get weary, or we have spiritual blind spots. We can have personality blind spots, behavior blind spots. And if we're not aware, because we're all weak, we're all broken, then that brokenness, that weakness usually shows up in our relationships around us. And usually we're unaware because we're so busy. We're unaware because perhaps we're so distracted. Or we're unaware because we don't have the skill set when the ball is going into the sun to actually readjust so that you can catch the ball. Or when the puck is going into a corner, you know you're going to reach it. Or the blind spots that you were taught when it comes to a shoulder check when you're driving. You see, there's spiritual blind spots that we should all be aware of. And if you are taking sermon notes, or if you want to, you can use the screen behind me. But Paul talks about this. An early church leader talked about his own personal blind spots. He's one of the most influential followers of Jesus, if I can dare say, of all time. But he says this. He says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin." Another word could be brokenness or our blind spots. "I do not understand what I do," he says, he confesses. "For what I do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." So you might be like, what is going on here? Lots of do's there. But basically he's saying he knows what to do is right, but he doesn't do that. Or he doesn't think that way. He doesn't go that way. And so he does things that are wrong or sinful. And then he says, "And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin," he says, brokenness, our own blind spots, "that is living in me." Verse 18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. So basically he's saying, hey, I tend to mess up. I have unique blind spots and I can't fix them. I understand I break relationships and break friendships. But then he keeps on confessing. He says, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me. Verse 21. So I find this law at work in me, including all of us. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law or God's ways, but I see another law working in me, including you and I, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me, which is called blind spots. As you can see, Paul is wrestling with the forces of good and evil, just like you and I do every day. And he recognizes his own sinful blind spots. Even though he wants to do good, he cannot. He's aware of being stuck, but he doesn't know how to get unstuck. So we need to pause here really quickly and unpack these scripture verses for our own lives. When there's a pop fly of life comes at us and hits the sun and you don't know what to do. Or the puck is going into the corner and you keep chasing it all day long and you're exhausted afterwards. Or rather than do the shoulder checks that we are called to do in our cars, the skill sets that we have learned, we either blindside others with our blind spots. So why do we get stuck? Why do we get stuck in our selfishness? Why do we get stuck in wanting to do good, but unfortunately our brokenness wants to ooze out? Why do we hurt others? Why do bad things happen in our earth? Why do we sometimes have self-destructive thoughts? Well, here, as you can see today in our sermon notes, but also with Paul, he says it this way, exactly what he says, that we need to realize that we are all broken people. We are all broken people. We deal with brokenness. For the first time in modern day history, neurosciences has helped us understand why we are broken, why we are struggle with personal blind spots, or why we have hurtful or painful imagery of the past. Medical fields, for example, counseling and neurosciences all agree that over 80% of our health problems are usually tied to an unmet need when you were a child. 80%. So this is saying something around stress or coping mechanisms, or you didn't feel loved or cherished, or you felt like you weren't not enough, actually oozes into us physically and relationally and spiritually, usually an unmet need from the past as a kid. And it's like fear comes up and stress and anxiety and insecurity comes up rather than the ways of Christ. The way, I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever put gas on a fire before? Like if you've ever camped or, you know, we don't really do this in the city, but when you're in the wilderness or when you're camping, you try to light a fire. If it's not necessarily going well enough, you just throw a little bit of gas on it and it kind of really burns. It grows. Well, the thing with campfires is great, but if you throw too much gas on it, you're going to get your eyebrows burnt. It's the same way with fear. Fear fuels stress. Fear fuels our brokenness. Fear fuels your unique blind spots. It could be stress. It could be overworking. It could be panic. It could be insecurity. It could be comparison. Just put in the blank your context when you're stressed. And if you don't know how you are when you're stressed, you know who the best person to talk to? Your spouse. Your spouse was close to you, or your kids, or your family, and they'll say, hey, Dad, you're a little stressed. My wife puts it this way, Andy, just go to the gym. Take it out on the weights, okay? It's going to be okay. You see, 80% of our symptoms physically is usually tied to the fuel of fear. And approximately 80% of people even suffer from mental health issues because of things from the past they haven't allowed to be met yet. So we are all broken, friends. We are all cut short, unfortunately. But there's going to be good news, that you don't have to have the engine of fear that drives your life. But when we do, we all wrestle with unique hurts, hang-ups, and broken habits. It doesn't matter if you are 5 in the room or you are 105 in the room. We all have unique brokenness that goes to our own hurts, hang-ups, and broken habits. And it usually stems from the past, and it's like an ugly duckling that shows up over time, like this dragon under the bridge, and it shows up its ugly face, usually when we're stressed out. Even in the last service, someone comes up to pray with me. He's been married for 60 years. Something happened 58 years ago, and it still comes up in their relationship. It comes up because they have been uniquely hurt, and it creates hang-ups and broken habits in our own lives. Another way to look at this, according to Michael Dye, he's a pastor and certified counselor for over 30 years, puts it this way. So he says that we all wrestle with unwanted thoughts, feelings, and memories. You see, your thoughts and feelings and memories are uniquely tied to your own hurts, hang-ups, and broken habits. And it's just because we live in a broken world. It's no one's fault. It's just reality. And we need to face reality. We need to understand our own reality, because we're in a sermon series called Raised to Life, meaning that when we deal with our brokenness through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you reach your full potential in Christ, and you are redeemed to use the things that broke you to help others that are broken. That's why we exist. That's why there's hope. That's why Home Church is focused on a person, living hope. His name is Jesus, because he redeems all things. I remember at Summit one year, I was Summit Pacific College, if you don't know it, it's a Bible college, and I was training to be a lead pastor. That was my goal. My undergraduate was in theology, and my major was in pastoral leadership. And one of the things that we had to do was to go into a counseling session. We had to understand pastoral counseling. Now, I haven't had to do this, but this week was really hard for some of our church. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But if you are looking for pastoral counseling, please reach out to us. We are happy to walk with you in the midst of grief and your own brokenness. But in any context, this one class that we had to do a real-life counseling session in front of the class. And the counselor, the teacher at the time said, "Is there anyone here that wants to have a free counseling session in front of the whole class?" No one put up their hand. No one wanted to do that except for me. So I go, I'm in the back of the class. I put my hand up. I'm like, "Yep, I'm in." I walk up to the stage, and I'm just going to make fun of this, okay? So I'm like, at the time I said, you know, she said, "What's your name?" I'm like, "I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I like big muscles." If you don't know Arnold Schwarzenegger, think of Rock Johnson, okay? Or anyone with big muscles. So I'm like, "I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger." And we go through this different thing, some questions like, "Where do you live? Where are you from? What's your goals? What's your dreams?" And then she said something to me that was really hard to get out of in any context. She said, "What's one thing you don't like about yourself, Andy?" I'm like, "Ooh, well, sorry, Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's one thing that you don't like about yourself, Arnold Schwarzenegger?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know what? I just feel like I can always do more. I can always do better. I don't put that on anybody else, but I think after everything I do, I'm thinking, what can I do better?" And then she said, "Interesting, Arnold Schwarzenegger." She's like, "Do you know that usually stems from an unmet need either from your mom or your dad?" And it was like this YouTube video that just shot in my brain. And all these images, all of these situations, all these stories I had with my parents came out of that. It wasn't because they were bad parents. It was my unique brokenness, because I grew up in a business. And my dad innately would say, "Andy, I love you and I'm proud of you." He only said that when I was working with him in the business. It wasn't when I had good grades. It wasn't just because of who I am. It wasn't because of the sports I played. He just would say that. And innately, I thought as a young boy that love was tied to performance, that acceptance was tied to what I do. And I had to unravel that because that's not what Jesus shows us. Friends, I share that story to you because when you invite Jesus in your unique brokenness and your habits and your hurts and hangups, it sets you free. It sets you free. A few years later, my dad and I are working, and I bring him up to this conversation. I'm like, Dad, like, just want to let you know, love you, Dad, but I innately thought this way about our relationship, and I tied that into all relationships and even life, even with my relationship with God. And he's like, you know what, Andy? The only reason I didn't say I was proud of you with all the different things that you did is so that you wouldn't get a big head. That's what he said to me. He's like, I just didn't want you to get so prideful and proud. And we had a big laugh about it, and we just kept going. There was no pain there. There was no blame there. There was no hatred there. There was no anger there. It was just soft-lightedness, but there was clarity. There was clarity to move forward. This is why I encourage you today, this week, to self-reflect. Find the clarity that you need to go to your brokenness. And you might say to me, Andy, there's no way I want to go there. I hid that. I fled that. I wanted to get away with that. I just want to encourage you today to learn from my friend that I prayed with in the first service. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It shows up its ugly head when you're stressed out. And those hurts, hangups, and bad habits want to rise when you don't go there. So how do we get unstuck then? Like, how do we actually move forward? Do we stay where we are and become bitter people? No, we become full people. We become healed, whole people, but we have to get unstuck. It's one thing to say, oh, the ball is in the sun. I don't have to readjust. I'm just going to let it drop. I still get paid the millions of dollars. No, you learned the skill set so that you can be successful and to reach your full potential in Christ Jesus. So for Paul, this is what he says to get unstuck. He says, thanks be to God, or praise God, who delivers me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he's saying that we can get unstuck because of Jesus, what he did at the cross, that he raised from the dead. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, his truth over my life, he's saying, but in my sinful nature as a slave to the law of sin. So there's these two laws that are wrestling within us. But he says, I myself, through the Spirit, therefore, now, I'm skipping, sorry, chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, or the law of Christ, who gives me life, has set me free from the law of sin and death. What a great passage of scripture here. That means that we don't have to be stuck in our own sin, stuck in our own habits and our own hangups and our own hurts. We don't have to have self-destructive thoughts and feelings and emotions. We can bring them to Christ, as we have seen here. So how do you do that? How do you practice this as a follower of Jesus? How do you quit pouring fuel, the fear, over all of your own brokenness and sometimes in other people's brokenness? How do we actually find healing? Well, the first thing that we see here, and you see through the life of Paul, is to invite Jesus into our past. We invite Jesus what was. You don't run away from it. You don't say, forget it. You invite Jesus in. This isn't in your sermon notes, but you can put this on the side. There's a great reality, and I've said this here at this church before, that the book of the Hebrews, which is written maybe by a few people, said this, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus is the same in the past, he's same in the present, and he's same in the future. That means in your life, he has the ability, above any other counselor, psychologist, self-medicated skill set that the world tries to give you, is you can uniquely give Jesus your past. And those situations and those unique brokennesses that he's not scared of. A counselor is not going to write a big X by your name. They're like, I can't do this anymore. They're not going to quit on you. Or they're going to say, great, you have big issues. I'm going to make tons of money off you. Jesus on the other side and the other end is simply inviting you. Because he's able and willing and has the resources to set you free from your past. You see, growing up, one of my default mechanisms from my past with what I just said about my dad is when I would stress out, I would just numb out. I became a robot, an emotional robot. As a kid, I would simply become focused on tasks. If there was anger in the house or if there was frustration on the business, I would just get things done. That appeased my dad. I moved from relationship to task. And in most of these cases, it worked for me, except for relationships, until I got married. Married to a wonderful woman, that when stress came up, not in our relationship, not in our marriage, but it could come up in my work, could come up from my past, it could come up financially, it could come up from different areas that came in my life, I would shut down emotionally, and I would become robotic, and Annick is saying, hey, Andy, why are you so distant? I'm not trying to be distant, it's just unintentional. It affected my relationships, and if it was undealt with, I would have hurt my relationships. I would have hurt myself, I would have hurt my kids. But to become aware of my past is to invite Jesus in the past because he sets us free from the unmet needs that your parents probably didn't give you or other people. You invite Jesus into those areas. And you let God's word flow afresh. It doesn't mean that you have to be 5 years of age or 105 to get this. It's a spiritual practice to find healing from your past, redemption from the brokenness that you've experienced that's usually unintentional. I needed to learn how to feel. Doesn't that sound weird? I needed to learn how to be happy, how to be joyful. I feel sad in this moment. I feel grief. I had to learn how to actually feel. In one sense, Annick even gave me pictures of what people look like when they are mad. Hey, Andy, that person, he's mad. Just, you know. And pastorally, this actually works too. So when people are mad, I'm like, God bless you. I love you. And, you know, I'm not mad with them. And that makes them more mad, you know, or joyful. I'm like, oh, you're joyful. Awesome. Great. God bless you. Like, it's neutral to me if I let it go. So I had to relearn how to allow Jesus to speak to me. And even Jesus, let's put it this way, even Jesus knows how to feel. He's the best example. He says here, this is your past if you want to take some context of your past. But for me personally, Jesus knows what it meant to be hungry. I'm always hungry, so he understands that. God bless Jesus. He was lonely. He was compassionate. He was broken, he was hurt, he was sad, he was empathetic. I'm like, oh, well, if Jesus went through all this, I can go through this. He's my example. Peter puts it this way. You were called because Christ suffered for you and for me, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. So it's not my dad I should follow, even though I love my dad. It shouldn't be my mom I follow or Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? It should be Jesus Christ. He's the perfect example of what it means to deal with your unique brokenness. Why? Because he actually went through it. He's actually gone through every single type of brokenness you've ever experienced. How crazy is that? And you might say, there's no such thing as this, Andy. Well, Jesus talks about the brokenness of the heart. How can you invite Jesus into your past, into your fears, into your shame, into your guilt, and into your unmet needs? It's quite amazing because the Holy Spirit will set you free from that. There's no shame in this. There's no shame of our past. The past is just the past, but it's inviting Jesus into your past. It will set you free for the future, and it will set you up to be successful in the present every single time. Or, like life, when the puck goes down, are you chasing it or are you going to meet it? Or when the ball hits the sun, are you going to panic because you can't see it? Or do you just just simply do a couple shifts so that you can see the ball coming, which is life. The second thing that you and I can do is invite Jesus in our unique brokenness. Like I mentioned before, we all have unique hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We have broken feelings, thoughts, and memories. And this is when we allow Jesus to speak to us. But in saying this, is we also all have a unique brain. It's called the limbic system. And right at the front of your system, all thought is filtered through that limbic system. And it's usually fueled, like I mentioned, by your emotions. So it's very interconnected. But this is the area of the brain that records all your experiences, your core memories, reward or pain. So you're filtering everything that you ever experience in life through those four things because of your brain. For example, I said to you that I don't feel when stress comes at me or hardship comes at me, and I just turn into this productive robot. But if I'm not aware, I can shut down relationships. I can shut down important conversations. I can even shut down people. Even though I'm present, I can shut them down emotionally in my own heart. I could even say and listen to that limbic system that says, just shut it down, Andy. There's too much stress. Just get out of there. But we all need to realize that in this context, to allow truth to speak, not emotion. Not feeling, but fact. And that unique fact is actually a person named Jesus. I don't have time to really unpack this too much, but Jesus answered it this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Literally, truth then is relational. It's a person named Jesus. And how you deal with the lies of your unique brokenness is you invite the truth of Jesus into your life. Not broken coping mechanisms like shutting down emotionally like myself. Not broken addictions like overworking. Not death scrolling, consuming online information. Not procrastinating or denial or distraction by modern day entertainment, but with truth. The truth of Jesus. This is why home groups at home church are so important, because you're able to actually process truth in relationship. And if you don't have one, then start one. It's very simple to start one, but behind me you'll see that these are our three realities when we go through any type of home group. We want to build friends. We want to build your faith and have good food together. But these are home groups that you can be a part of. There's a QR code that you can go on our sermon notes and get involved in a home group. If you need to start one, talk to one of the pastors. We will help you get involved, because actually, the only way you grow spiritually is in relationship with one another. We are not called to isolate. We're not called to do things on our own or to personalize faith or personalize truth. No, it's actually practiced with one another. And it helps you understand your unique brokenness. I didn't understand my unique brokenness until actually I allowed people into my life, like Anik. What would your spouse or kids say about your unique brokenness? Have you ever asked that question? Be careful with that one. Maybe you should take them for steak and lobster first and then ask them that. But it is a great opportunity to say, hey, I want to reach my full potential in Christ. And it's not to bring out the dirt. It's not to bring up the past. It's just to be able to say, I need to deal with my unique brokenness. And we all have choices here today. We have choices to stay stuck, or we have choices to be set free. And even as followers of Jesus, even if you've been a follower of Jesus for 5 minutes or 500 years, this is a practice we need to do every day. It's called redemption. It's practicing being raised to life, to give it to Jesus and allow him to speak life into it. And lastly, we invite Jesus into our minds. We invite Jesus into our thoughts, and his thoughts become our thoughts. Our thoughts don't just become our thoughts. Our thoughts become what Jesus say we are. This is how you reach your full potential in Christ. There's a term in sports that's called visualization. It's not just for sports, but it could be for high performance in any context. It could be speaking. It could be a job performance. It could be for an interview. You visualize ahead of time what that exercise will be so that you can be your best in that moment. It's called visualization. Jesus, on the other hand, shows you and tells you who you already are. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on who you are. And because of that, that sets you up to be successful in your marriage, with your kids, with your work. It helps you reach your full potential in your age and stage of life. It gives you courage to make hard decisions when you just want to be comfortable. It helps you to be mature and to grow, not only in your faith, but to grow as a husband and as a dad, or as a wife, or as a mom, or in your career, or as a sibling. His thoughts become our thoughts. It's a visualization, spiritually visualization. For through, as we see here, Paul says, for though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does, he says. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ or the truth of Christ or God. And we take captive every one of our thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. This doesn't mean to believe Christ. This means to practice what we believe. It's not just simple enough to say, hey, God loves me. Yeah, awesome, great. It's allowing God's love to heal your brokenness and invite him in. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a child of God. Well, what does that actually mean in my world today? You have to practice what you believe. This is obedience to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete, meaning full measure or full potential. You see, Paul is using an imagery of the war of our minds. There's a war in your mind, friend, of the hurts, habits, and brokenness that we uniquely go through. The feelings, the emotions, and thoughts that are fueled by fear. And Jesus is trying to heal our minds so that we can reach our full potential in Jesus. It's inviting the truth of Jesus into our unique brokenness. Now, hear me. This does not mean that you have to be perfect. This does not mean that you have to have it all together. It doesn't mean that you have to hide or isolate or pretend or to lie to ourselves, even as followers of Jesus. It's just to be aware of our blind spots before they blindside you and to allow God to heal your hurts, hangups, and habits. So when I was 14 years old, I mentioned that I was in a Babe Ruth league. And luckily enough, I'm surprised I even made it, but I made it on the all-star team in the city in a small little town called Creston. And we were playing for the regionals to go to provincials. And one thing that I was good at is I can run really fast for short sprints. So they put me out in outfield, in left field. So left field is a right-hand batter. It was the last inning. We're up by one. And the heavy hitter of this one team was coming up to bat. And when that happens, if there's heavy hitters, outfield always goes back. It's better to go back when the ball is coming in front of you so that you can run up to it. It's also included in the infield, except for third base. Third base should stay close. Just in case if the ball gets close to the line, then you can come around when you're a right batter. No one here really cares, but I'm just telling you. Okay? I'm getting to the point. So I'm in left field, right position from the baseball batter. He hits the ball hard. It goes up. It's not a fly, but it's hit hard. And I am adjusting myself, and guess what? It hits the sun. I don't know where it is. I have a choice right there. I can panic and say, I can't find it. Or I can realize the skill sets that my coach has told me. I hear my coach say, Andy, keep going back, keep going back. I hear my center field saying, Andy, go to the right. And as I'm putting my hand up to block the sun, I see the ball coming this way. And so I'm like, okay, I block it out. And then right before I got it out of the sun, it's just right there. I caught it. And we won the game. and we went to provincials, which is actually quite amazing. We didn't win any games in provincials. But we gave our full potential, okay? In the same way, when life hits and you don't know what to do, you have a choice to hear the whispers of the Spirit, to adjust, go back a bit. He never yells at us, by the way. He doesn't call you names. He whispers truth. He whispers life. He whispers wisdom. Clarity. Maybe you need to adjust. And he sets you up for success to reach your full potential in Christ. To start to become unstuck from our unique hurts, hang-ups, and habits is to become aware of them. Take skill. Just like my friend in the first service who confessed over 60 years of brokenness is still coming up. He feels stuck, doesn't know how to get out of it. It's not even his fault. That it came from his mom who said something really mean to his wife at that time. And it's perpetuated over 60 years. He's hung up. So what do? You readjust your feelings, your thoughts, and your memories away from your blind spots to the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Let me encourage you today before you leave is a passage of scripture that seems so simple, but it's quite profound. Paul puts it this way, that why Jesus came on the cross and died for your sins wasn't just to forgive you of your sins, but it's this context in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Stand firm. In other words, be aware. Be intentional. Don't get caught up in your pain and hurts and frustration. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Invite Jesus into your past, friends. Invite Jesus to work in your unique brokenness and let the Holy Spirit set you free from hurts, hang-ups, and negative habits that we all have. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And then as they are coming forward to get ready here, here's some questions that we have for you today, this week. You can take a picture of this. It's in your sermon notes. It's on the app as well. I think to myself sometimes, if there was just one little adjustment in my life, way back when I was 14 years of age, what that could do. What that could do in my life. In baseball, it's very simple. It's to catch a ball. In hockey, it is to know where the puck is going. When you learn the skill set that you have a blind spot, when you're driving, you learn those things. But we all have relational brokenness and blind spots. We all have spiritual blind spots that we are unaware of, even behavioral-wise. But the goal is to redeem all things. 60 years ago with my friend that we were just talking about life, I think to myself, what would have happened if his mom just apologized? Just said sorry. I said that out of anger or frustration. What would have that been? Friends, this mature follower of Jesus who loves Jesus, loves this church, who gives faithfully with his time, talents, and resources, is managing brokenness for over 60 years of something he has never done. But he can still invite Jesus. And I'm just being honest with you. Like, man, an apology would have done wonders in that family. Just a simple apology, a simple pivot. It's a great example for you and I. Don't let the past rob you of your present. Don't let your unique brokenness get in the way of what Jesus wants to do in your life or in others. It's okay to have hurts and hang-ups and negative habits. It's okay. But it's not okay to let them run wild and do their own thing, and for you not to reach your full potential. in your age and stage of life. So these reflection questions give us opportunity to think deeply and let the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit heal and mend. And maybe you're here today, and like I was a 14-year-old student, you're like, man, I have no idea what Pastor Andy just talked about, but these are skill sets that you can apply to your life later on as God reveals himself to you. But what areas of your life went unmet? Maybe even unintentionally. And maybe you need to write that down and just journal and just be real with God. It's okay to go there. Step one is probably better than question one. Step two is, what areas of your unique brokenness, your feelings and actions affect you and your relationships because of your unmet needs? It comes up. And then lastly, the most important step of all, as you become aware, as I become aware, is how are you going to invite Jesus? His truth, his word, his ways that we just went through today to help you get unstuck and reach your full potential in Christ Jesus. So as we close today in worship, it gives us an opportunity to hear from God. And just like my coach was whispering to me, talking to me as the ball hit the sun, and as the center man was helping me, may the Holy Spirit speak to you just to simply adjust and to reach your full potential this week. Let's stand together and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us in worship. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. It's just an opportunity to minister to you. Maybe you have a unique need today and you want ministry, you want prayer. I'm going to ask Janice to come up, and I will be here too. We would love to pray with you. But you don't have to. You can just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you where you are. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you in this place. You're always with us, but what we mean by that is in our hearts and minds. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way with us, and that we would do the courageous work to invite you into our unique brokenness that maybe we're not even aware of, and that we would allow you to adjust and whisper, and that we would trust those adjustments and those whispers to reach our full potential in our lives, in our relationships, in our work, in our potential. And Lord, for those that have felt stuck, that felt like there's no hope, I pray today that you would show them how much they're truly valued and loved by you. And that the goal here is not to be perfect or to have all things together, but to invite the one who is. And that you would redeem and set free so that we can help others that are broken, and that we can minister to those that you have first ministered to us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's worship together.